Coming up on today's show...
Look at your own experience. God is yearning to be with you where you are. You don't have to go very far. Just take a moment into yourself and reflect on your day and think, where might God be reaching out to you?
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Try it. Be sure that you have signed up there on the website for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's all, really, just once a week. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site, and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on catholicsportsradio.net. One of the many things I enjoy about doing this is hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Let's talk about the agony of defeat. I know, it's no fun, but it's reality. After all, someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. Teams do not go out on the field saying, "I'd actually be okay if the game finishes in a tie today." In all seriousness, there are often times when a game is decided by a miscue, an error in baseball, a missed tackle in football, an attempted buzzer beater in basketball that does not go in, that one athlete is going to really beat themselves up. Those can become moments of, it's tough to face my team, it's tough to face the media, even go home and look at my family. Wow, we are our own worst critics, am I right? We commit a sin that we can't live with. Ironically, we almost don't want to take it to confession. We actually think that God won't forgive us. There's always another game the next day, so to speak, and thankfully, our Father in heaven longs for us to bring him our brokenness. You did not let yourself or your teammates or your family down. Do not fall into despair. Romans chapter 3 tells us in verses 23 and 24, quote, "All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus." The 2024 NFL season is a couple of weeks old, although some players have yet to see the field due to injuries. We forget that despite their high profile and equally high salaries, they too have to deal with the same health insurance challenges many of us face. Perhaps some of them even wonder if there is another option. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a faith-based alternative to traditional health insurance. For over 40 years, CHM has provided a biblical framework that allows Christians to take care of each other's medical bills. Learn more at chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has a long resume in sports as an athlete, coach, and educator. After being a varsity soccer captain and varsity basketball captain in high school, he went on to compete in rowing at Boston College. Next, he became a boys basketball coach at St. Jude High School in Montgomery, Alabama, and then a girls basketball coach at Mercy High School in Omaha, Nebraska. And now for the last 10 years, he has been youth soccer and basketball coach at St. Pius X / St. Leo School. He is a lifelong bicyclist and from 2007 to 2013 was a recreational triathlete. 2 years ago, he co-authored a book called On the Eighth Day, a Catholic Theology of Sport, and he teaches in the theology department at Creighton University. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Max Engel.
Thanks, Bruce. It's good to be here.
Likewise, Max, thank you for the time. And in that intro, I mentioned Boston, Alabama, Nebraska. I also know that at one point you lived in Maryland. So it all makes me wonder, where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
I was born in northern Ohio, but I was raised in western Michigan, a town of Muskegon. A family of four. I'm the eldest with a younger sister.
Okay. I'm going to guess that you are a cradle Catholic. Is that correct? And what was the Engel household like when you were a young boy in terms of the presence of the Catholic faith, including maybe any Catholic education?
Sure. Thanks for asking. It's interesting. My parents were both Catholic educated, and my father had studied for the priesthood. And so he had discerned out as a young man, but it was a key part of his life from then to this day. So the Catholic faith was a big part of our household. And one of my key memories growing up is when we would travel, we did a lot of camping. But I remember on Saturday morning, we would start looking for spires on the horizon, like what kind of we're traveling. It's like, is that a Catholic church? And kind of on the way, you know, where we would go to Mass either that evening or the next morning on Sunday. And as an adult, that's very formative for me. Like when we would travel, we would always make sure that we would find a place to go to Mass because that was part of our family tradition. That was part of what made our family who we were. And now with my own children, I've got four children, my wife and I, you know, we raise our children with that same sort of central value. We pray as a family before meals. We pray liturgy together. We attend Mass. Unfortunately, with our schedules a little bit today, as my kids have gotten older, sports being a big part of that, you know, sometimes Father will tease us, like, you know, he saw one of my daughters, you know, the night before, saw two of my sons at the 7:30, and my wife and I and my other daughter will be at the 9:30, that kind of thing. But it's part of our life today, and was when I was a kid, too.
We're off to a good start here because I felt as though you were describing my dad when you said my father had considered the priesthood and discerned out, and thus the Catholic faith became a very important part of our life, because that is exactly what I went through. My father went to the seminary, obviously decided not to become a priest, and yes, it was very much a big part of our family growing up. Max, you were varsity soccer captain and varsity basketball captain in high school. When did you actually first start playing sports, period? And were you a self-starter, or was there someone influential in your young life that encouraged you to participate in sports?
I played tackle football at age 6. Mm. We were the Mini-Mites, and I don't think they do that much anymore. But the story is, and I have no recollection, that I went out and I found where the signups were in the neighborhood, and I came back and I told my mother that I needed to play. And I played all the sports growing up. And my parents were very supportive. They made it a point. My dad was often, not always, but often a coach or an assistant coach. And sports was, you know, he was a runner. Like he would run. That was what I, and then cycling. After his knees kind of deteriorated, he became, and to this day is a cyclist. And so my interest in cycling started when I was cycling with my dad. And even my dad, before his knees got really bad, we would do some of those triathlons that you mentioned at the outset. And it was a really important way to connect with my dad as I became a man, was just becoming a father, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Now, I think you said, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you said you were born in Ohio, but you moved to Michigan, correct?
Correct, yep.
So does that mean that you were, say, a Red Wings fan, a Lions fan, a Pistons fan, a Tigers fan, and that was kind of just parallel to everything you just described in terms of participation? Or is it, you know, Bruce, I guess watching all those Detroit teams is what maybe influenced me to go sign up for football at such a young age and play all these other sports?
Probably parallel. I mean, absolutely. Lions, Tigers, Pistons, Red Wings. Like, I live in Omaha, as you mentioned, but my family, we are Detroit sports fans. Mm. And it's part of the community. It's a connection. A lot of my family and my friends certainly are still in Michigan. And that's how we connect. You know, it was a very special moment for me taking my kids to a Tiger game with my dad and my two boys. Like, that was a moment when, you know, we all have Tiger caps on because my late grandfathers were Tiger fans. And something we can always connect with kind of our roots in that way. And I think a lot of people, you know, sports bring families together in meaningful ways. And that certainly is true for my family.
Yeah. And folks, I know I'm sounding like a broken record. I say this a lot, but something like sports is always a good conversation starter. But boy, when you find out that that person that you're speaking to is also Catholic, all of a sudden it seems like you just have so much more in common, and the conversation flows even more freely. And I think you're hearing Max kind of back that up in a roundabout way. Max, when you went to Boston College, yes, you competed in rowing, but on the academic side, you earned your bachelor's in English literature. Given that degree program and the fact that Boston College is considered a private Jesuit research university, was it maybe the Catholic foundation from your childhood that you just described to us that was slowly starting to stir in you to want to later go on for theology and religious education at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, you know, I was always, looking back now, I was a theology major disguised as an English major. I was a public school educated through K through 12, but I knew that I wanted a Catholic education, Catholic university education. And I, at the time, I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but there was a deep sense in me, a deep yearning for something more. Like, there's something more here, and I need to find out where it is. And Boston College and the Jesuits and the education that I received there really opened those doors, you know, with a sacramental worldview, the seeing that, you know, sports very much can be part of a life of faith, and I can encounter God through the community of sports, or I can encounter God through, you know, those moments of transcendence that made me say, wow. And so by the time I finished my time at Boston College, I was an English literature major, but I was fascinated by the stories. And I think that's what led me to scripture relatively late in life, you know, as a 18, 19, 20, 22 year old undergrad, who I encountered the Gospels, I encountered the Old Testament as a story of God encountering God's people, God encountering me, and how I could find myself within those narratives. So I'm very grateful that I came to those narratives relatively late, because those ideas, those stories, that relationship I found reached out and grabbed me. And I said, oh, this is my story. This story and these people are responding to my deep felt needs and questions. And so after I graduated BC, I moved quickly into teaching and coaching at the high school level, as you mentioned. And I taught English literature and I taught theology and I coached. And I found that sort of in that mix as a young man, I could really explore my own faith as I was helping young men and women, the high school students that I had the privilege of teaching, helping them sort of have that same encounter with the scriptures, encounter with the stories, encounter with the God who loves them through all things, including sports. And that was a really formative period of my life there as a young man.
So given everything that you just described, and I'm focusing on that period of your life where you were a student in higher education, Boston College, Notre Dame, and then the Catholic University of America. As you mentioned, you were always doing some kind of coaching during that time. So was it that kind of ongoing, as you just described, was it pretty natural that you developed an interest in research surrounding the intersection of religious faith, spirituality, and sports? Or by chance, did you get to a point where there was one significant aha moment that maybe God showed you that made you discover, this is what I want to pursue, this is the research I want to do?
Yeah, there's a lot sort of building up to that. But there was a moment when I was at Creighton University early, about 10 years ago, and I had a young man, I was teaching theology, who was a hotshot pitcher, highly rated recruit coming to Creighton. And he had a lot of the sort of the Catholic jewelry around his neck, and he would make the sign of the cross when he would take the field. And so I had him in my office on another issue, but I wanted to talk to him about his baptism. I thought that would be fascinating. And sadly, he couldn't. Like, he just, you know, what does your baptism have to do with your faith? Or, you know, tell me about the medallion you have on your neck. You know, that's St. Christopher. Tell me about him. Or how is he for you? And unfortunately, he just really didn't know. It was a loss. And I told one of my colleagues who later became, was a dear friend of mine at the time and currently was a co-author on the book. And I said, Jay, we've got students who are really incoherent and don't have a sense of their faith and what their faith might have to do with sports. And maybe we can address that some way. And we had a third friend who's teaching a sport and spirituality class up at St. Joseph's College at the University of Alberta. And he was a friend of ours from our PhD studies at the Catholic University of America there in Washington, D.C. And we called him up and said, we got to talk about your course and we got to replicate that here at Creighton. And so our department chair was very supportive. Our colleagues were supportive. You know, we proposed the course. And so we got the course up and running. And so we've been teaching that 6 or 7 years, pretty much every semester, either here or I will teach it. And it fills up quick, but it draws students in who are curious, I'm thinking earlier in September when Notre Dame was playing Texas A&M, you know, a couple weeks ago, and when the interviewer was Holly Rowe with ABC, and she was interviewing Riley Leonard, who's Notre Dame's quarterback, and he's quoting scripture on his wrist, and he's kind of talking about the faith that brought him to Notre Dame, and I was nodding my head approvingly, and like, we need to empower our young men and women who are in an athletic setting or a sports setting to A, talk about what their faith means to them, but B, talk about it in ways that are coherent and credible and meaningful. And so that's kind of what we like to think we're doing here at Creighton, is helping young men and women sort of find that, make that connection, baptism to sport, or just even if they come in with minimal faith or no faith, just to raise questions for them about, you know, trying to get beyond sort of the superficial sports are my cathedral or sports are my religion. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Brady and Michael Strahan, you know, have their show that many of my students are familiar with, The Religion of Sports. And I, you know, I've watched that. I get where they're coming from, but I feel like there's a part of our responsibility is to debunk that a little bit, to like, wait a minute, they recognize that something powerful is going on in sports and that probably there's some spiritual depth and some religious potential. But in my view, you know, they're not maximizing it, and they're maximizing it for their own profit, but they're not using it to open people's eyes to how grace can encounter them in sports and move them beyond themselves, even beyond sports. But man, sports are so formative and educative. Let's use sports as an avenue to talk about what's so important in life.
Well, not to mention, to circle back to the baseball player, you have to realize that if you're going to walk around with, in his case, a St. Christopher medal, someone's going to ask you at some point, what is that about? And if you're not going to know the answer, you might as well either go find out or not wear it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In mentioning before that the NFL season is a couple of weeks old, some of you might be frustrated already if your team is starting off in a slump, or maybe you play fantasy football and one of the guys you drafted has started off really poorly. Being stuck in a rut in sports is no fun. You know what else is no fun? An attachment to pornography. The guilt, shame, and self-hatred that comes from porn use is holding you back from your best life. Get off the bench. Freedom Coaching can show you how. Visit freedom-coaching.net and be transformed today. It has been a bit since I've said this, and it's important to me that I repeat it. I can't pretend that everyone listening to this week's conversation with Dr. Max Engel has been listening indefinitely now. The fact that I have both Christian Healthcare Ministries and Freedom Coaching as sponsors of late is wonderful. I'm incredibly thankful to both of them, and I hope you or someone you know who could benefit from their services will contact them and let them know you heard them on Catholic Sports Radio. But don't be lulled into the mindset of, okay, Bruce is all set now. He's got a couple sponsors. I am very grateful to those two organizations for coming on board. But no, by no means am I all set now, unfortunately. In fact, I also will point out for those that maybe don't know that this is so much a ministry for me, and it's not even my full or my part-time job, that I don't get any income for doing this show at all, really. After 5.5 years of doing this show every week, no, I still don't have any monetary pay from Catholic Sports Radio. At the same time, I ask you to prayerfully consider this ministry and the impact that it hopefully is having on your faith life. If you see value in all that I do through Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, and you enjoy the show, you appreciate the work that I do, and you want to support my ongoing efforts, I would be most grateful for you to include this ministry as part of your tithing. We hear in church about the 10% that we're supposed to tithe, and the portion of that which we can give to whoever or whatever we want. That's where I hope you will see Catholic Sports Radio fitting in. On the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net or .com, they'll both get you to the same place, there is a blue Donate to CSR button. As guests and listeners who have used that would attest, that blue button is a fast, easy, and secure way to make a financial gift. That will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people do not like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, though, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, just like you've heard me do on other episodes when guests or listeners have made a contribution. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Max does not know this. Hopefully some of you have been around a bit and do. Approximately 4 months ago, May 27 to be exact, my guest on episode 278 was Matt Hoven, who talked about his newest book, Hockey Priest, Father David Bauer and the Spirit of the Canadian Game. He had previously been my guest on episode 190 in September of 2022. And Max, as you mentioned before, Matt Hoven, of course, is one of the co-authors of On the Eighth Day, A Catholic Theology of Sport, along with you and one other gentleman. Tell us about that book, which just came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, thanks for that invitation to share with you. We spent the time in our course kind of cobbling together that there was no single text that helped capture what we wanted to for our students, that was the sort of the Catholic theology of sport, you know, from the history to virtue to sort of Catholic Christian anthropology in a sports lens to suffering kind of at the outset in your ministry moment. I was touched by, you know, suffering and loss. And actually that often is a big part of our class where students begin to share getting cut, you know, not realizing they weren't going to be D1. Or the injuries, like every year there are athletes who are injured. Often in the classes we have varsity athletes who have a prominent national profile, as I do this semester. I've got a couple individuals who highly recruited to Creighton sports teams, but there's suffering and there's loss, and how do we address that? Getting into Catholic social teaching has a big part in sports, or virtue ethics. You know, what's our morality? How do we live our morality, and how can sports form us? And so we wanted to pull it all into one text. And so the three of us, Matt Hoven, Jay Carney, myself, all friends from CUA and our graduate work there in Washington, D.C., said this is something we can contribute to the church here. We can contribute, you know, because we, the three of us, very much see ourselves as educators and teachers, yes, but also evangelists. Like, we bring the gospel to students, to an encounter, and we can do that through our book. And so we use it in our classes. There's readership beyond our classes, so we've really been appreciative of those who have read it, have gotten back to us. So it's filled a need. We've used it. The students, you know, 80% of the students understand 80% of it, but that's about right for any class, and we help them understand the rest. And so it's been gratifying, the reception that it's got. So,
and audience, I'm going to put two links on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. One will be to the Creighton University website, meaning the specific page on their website where you can see the bio that they have for Max. And the other link that I'm going to provide is over to Amazon for the book that you just heard Max talk about. Let's go back to the last point we made before I had gone into the break, where I referred to your research surrounding the intersection of religious faith, spirituality, and sports. I know I'm asking you to whittle something enormous down to a bite-sized answer, but do you focus on one real specific talking point about the intersection of faith and sports? For example, and I'm going to filibuster here to give you time to package this up for us, but I always say things like sports are great and there are a lot of wonderful benefits to sports, such as teamwork, physical fitness, good sportsmanship. And it's okay to want to make a long career in sports, but we don't worship sport. We worship God and God alone. And then, of course, we talk about ways to bring your faith life into your sports life. But Max, what about it? Is there a place you really like to land, a specific focus you like to put on all this?
Sure. Thank you for asking. I always start with what makes you say, wow. Like, what do you love about sports? And that's the starting point, because invariably, you know, it's not the championships, it's not, you know, the successes, it's the camaraderie or those moments that just defy explanation, you know, they're transcendent. And then boom, okay, let's talk camaraderie. Let's talk about love of others. Let's talk about, you know, God as love and the Trinity as community. And suddenly we're talking theology, that any experience of authentic love, which often, you know, teams at their best always have, is an experience of God's love for us. And then similarly, in that transcendent, you know, Charles Taylor, the Canadian philosopher, sort of writes of a Catholic Canadian philosopher. We sadly, we live in a flat world we need to blow the lid off that and realize, you know, our transcendent destiny. And that in those wow moments, whatever is the cause that makes us say, holy cow, those powerful moments, the God is bursting through our self-imposed sort of ceiling on our lives and reaching in and tapping us on the shoulder. And so we ask, like, what does that mean? How can we get into those moments of transcendence in sports or in other aspects of our life? And what might that mean for us? And from the book and our own experience and in teaching and my own personally, is those are invitations to the individuals from God. And so often they don't recognize that. So we try to teach a language of a sacramental language of looking at life through a Catholic lens, sees God present everywhere. We just got to look for it. And as soon as we start recognizing, oh, maybe there's God in this. Maybe there's something profound or transcendent there, the God wink, the shoulder tap, the invitation. Then we can talk about the incarnation, talk about Jesus coming in flesh. And that's part of the mystery of being human. And what's most human, we're created in the image of a loving God, is most divine. And so those sort of, I don't know how well I whittled that down, but those are some huge ideas that I always start from. You know, what do you love best about sports? And let's have a conversation from there.
You whittled them down wonderfully. I got a big goofy smile on my face. I've been nodding my head as you've been talking, just short of raising my hands as though I was celebrating a touchdown. So really, really well said. And, you know, folks, when you think about that question that Max just posed, what do you love about sports? You can tell that there's a young man that really made quite an impression on me as a guest on the show. Talking about 7 weeks ago on episode 288, it was the beginning of August, August 5 to be exact. Go back to episode 288 if you did not hear it, my conversation with J.J. Niekro. He's a pro baseball player. His dad was Joe Niekro. His uncle was Phil Niekro. And he painted this really impressive picture of the game of baseball from the standpoint of the beauty that he sees in baseball, and not in a on-the-field double play, highlight ESPN reel type of sense. But I really want you to go back with an open mind and listen to that if you didn't hear it, because he did such a wonderful job. And so for someone like him to hear that question that Max just asked, you're going to get some really insightful answers. And if you don't, then as Max is suggesting, we are allowed to be bold in our faith. We are allowed to evangelize and to show people, as I tried to do through this ministry, the mix of faith and sports. Max, let's shift over to some of your sporting endeavors, say, of the last 10 years, and maybe you can show us an overlap with them and your faith life. From 2007 to 2013, you were a recreational triathlete, so very solemn, competing alone, one with God, one with the universe, one with nature. And from 2014 to present, you've been in a team environment, being youth soccer and basketball coach at St. Pius X / St. Leo School.
Yeah, I think, you know, being a triathlete for me, I living on the East Coast, had a healthy balance of the solitary. It kind of gave me time to sort of think, and for me, a time to pray, and I could pray about sport, even in a nascent way. I mean, that was before I had started much of this explicit exploration of that connection, but for me, sports have always been an opportunity to reflect and to think and sort of get that time away and reflect on my experience. But it was also highly communal. Hovind and I, that you mentioned earlier, he and I did triathlons together. And so that's kind of a joke for us today. We have to do that again sometime. The camaraderie of those events were a lot of fun, getting to meet people. The nation's triathlon, you know, has over 10,000 competitors. It's the largest one-day triathlon in the world, I think, or at least the United States. And that was always a neat experience. And then today, you know, living in Omaha, as my children have gotten older, I've been a youth soccer and basketball coach for St. Pius St. Leo. Our parish is St. Pius X. The school and the soccer clubs and the basketball is combined with two parishes that have a long lineage together. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, Lord, help me have patience with this young man. You know, with this fourth grader who just can't seem to understand what we're trying to do. But to me, it's important. We always start practice with a prayer. You use the word ministry moment. Before I start practice, you know, we have a prayer and we have sort of a faith statement, kind of whatever it is today. You know, yesterday it was the feast day of St. Gregory the Great, you know, that kind of thing. Like, this is important for us. And trying just to be explicit with these are young boys, or, you know, at this point they're in sixth graders, but I started coaching them by and large in my older kids. So with boys and girls kind of through the years, you know, oftentimes, yes, they may be raised in a Catholic household or they may go to a Catholic school, but it's not part of their vocabulary. And so part of what I see the soccer club or the basketball program, it's an apostolate of the Catholic Church. It's the uniform says St. Pius, St. Leo. Like, what are we doing? You know, we have to be different because we're rooted in the gospel. And so I coach differently. And there's a challenge there. Let me, you know, not get any holier than thou. I mean, I have some serious, you know, come to grips with like, oh gosh, I was not my best self today. I was not a good role model for my players today in some way, shape, or form, but calling myself to account. And so it's been very gratifying to be explicit. And that's what I talk to parents a lot often about in my role when I talk to schools in a professional development sense or with parish groups. It's be explicit. You know, these youngsters oftentimes don't get the same sort of Catholic language that I certainly had, my parents certainly had growing up, that you had. It's sort of gone out of favor. It's just kind of, we've forgotten our roots. And so let's capture those roots and use that language so the students aren't startled by it when they encounter it at Mass or at a liturgy or in a Catholic school setting. So, you know, those are some instances that, you know, for me, it's front and center of how I try to coach, you know, currently, or when I did those recreational triathlons. And the only reason I don't do triathlons in Omaha is A, my children, I had fewer children back when I was in Maryland. And B, there's just, there are fewer events that can work in my calendar. So at some point I'd love to get back at that. But that's how I would respond to that question off the bat.
I love what you just said though about the language and the terminology and not what it used to be, because we do have to reinforce those lessons just in the same way as we talked in the first half of the show about if someone's going to walk around with a St. Christopher medal, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk, as Jimmy Johnson said. So, you know, if you're going to be Catholic and you're going to Mass and you're going to try to live that life and yet not know what some of these things mean, well, someone in your life needs to step up, a godparent, a mother or father, someone. And yes, of course, you should go looking for the answers yourself. In the lead up to today, Max, you told me that you are currently leading four Creighton University faculty members in the 19th annotation of the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius. Explain to the audience what all that entails.
Yeah, St. Ignatius was the founder of the Society of Jesus, commonly known as the Jesuits. And for almost 500 years, they have been a society of priests and brothers who have endeavored, as Ignatius said, to save souls, you know, to bring the gospel, to evangelize. And today, you know, the Jesuits are known certainly in the United States, education, Boston College, Creighton, Georgetown, for example. But part of the Jesuit education is to be formed spiritually. And I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone on this. You can't have a Jesuit education without spiritual formation. That is deeply instilled in St. Ignatius in the Jesuit order. So at Creighton, we have opportunities for faculty and staff to do the spiritual exercises. And it's been going for years under the leadership of Father Greg Carlson and Larry Gillick, both Jesuits. And this year, I've led students through the spiritual exercises. I'm trained by those two individuals. But just this semester, I have the privilege of doing the 19th annotation, which recognizes that, you know, St. Ignatius recognized that people are busy. And you know that, I know that, your listeners know that. But it asks people to carve out, instead of, you know, a 30-day retreat or a 15-day retreat, to carve out 20 minutes a day, every day, for 4 months, under the tutelage of Father Carlson and myself, where we get together, there's prayer, and we look at the reality that God meets us where we are, and God is yearning to meet with us. And so with these colleagues who are, in some instances, peers of mine, starting very simply, like, where are you recognizing God? How are you with God in your life? And then moving forward to help them recognize what might God be inviting them to do or be or to deepen based on their responses to their awareness. You know, St. Ignatius would say, pay attention. You don't have to go looking out there. Look at your own experience. God is yearning to be with you where you are. You don't have to go very far. Just take a moment into yourself and reflect on your day and think, where might God be reaching out to you through the Jesuit terminology is consolations or desolations. What's bringing you joy? let's do some more of that. Let's get into that. You know, is that authentic joy? Where are the desolations? What's making you sad, sort of despairing, sort of, you know, kind of grumpy? Let's avoid that. You know, what is it that, you know, God's greatest joy is for our happiness. God would never lead us in ways that lead to our sadness. So let's focus on those gifts that God has given us. And we do that through recognizing and through praying about what we recognize. So it's a real privilege to have that opportunity to work with colleagues at Creighton in that regard here this semester.
Amen. Amen. And I love the way that you framed that, because I think we do that to ourselves. We decide that we need to go from 0 to 100, meaning in our faith life, overnight. And I think of a baseball player. His team is down 7-1, and he gets up to the plate with the bases empty, and you could tell he's trying to hit a home run, and you're not going to get all those runs back in one swing of the bat with the bases empty. So it has to be a gradual process. It doesn't have to be this overwhelming task. And I love the way that you broke it down. Max, let's close by having you share with us, you've mentioned them a few times, but please, your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and the family that the two of you have made.
Oh, I love it. My wife, Elizabeth, we've been married for 22 years. We have 4 children. The eldest is a freshman in college, so we sent her off about 2 weeks ago now. And then my second child is a daughter. She is a junior in high school. And then our sons, one has just started high school, is a freshman in high school, and the other is a sixth grader. And the eldest was always more of a dancer and artist. My junior in high school is a goalie, so I really love watching her play. It brings me great joy. And the boys, my eldest son is trying cross country for the first time, to my delight. and my youngest still plays soccer and basketball. So,
just wonderful. Just wonderful. Max, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed it, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. And keep up the good work. Our world needs it.
Thank you. Thank you. And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. And let's do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net. as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.